It does sound like a question from Jeopardy, doesn't it? Good morning, everyone. I am going to be speaking from that passage that Sam just read for us, as well as other passages from the Bible too. What are some of the things that I learned in school? Well, I definitely learned the maths and English that I'm now passing on to my son and daughter to help them in their homework, which they totally appreciate, by the way, kind of me kind of intruding upon the work that they're doing. I think as well, like as someone who really enjoyed games and still enjoys games at school and in life, I really liked learning about probability when I was in high school. And I was like, oh, like this is the edge that will help me to win. But I think like one of the biggest lessons that I took away from school was not so much all the facts that I learned, but just the idea that I was actually able to do stuff. Like I could actually learn things. I was capable of growing. I can achieve things. And that gave me a kind of confidence, I think, that has helped me in life. I think as well, it kind of gave me a soft spot for people who don't have that same confidence too. We're going to be learning about God and education today and how our education in school relates to our faith. So please join with me as we pray before heading into God's word. Let's pray together. Dear God, you are our Heavenly Father. You are our comfort. You are our guide, but you're also our teacher. And so, Lord, we pray that you may teach us from your word this morning. Please help us to see how what we learn in school and in uni and even just in our life experience, how it all relates to you, so that we may truly give you praise for everything good that is in us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a very common view going around in our society. People might not explicitly say it, but I think it is there, that the world of faith and the world of education are worlds apart. And I think we hear this not just from non-religious people, but also from religious people. From non-religious people, they might say things like, you've got to keep religion out of our schools. There has been a push for this that has been fairly effective. As far as I know, New South Wales is the last state to have scripture, to still have scripture in its public schools. There's also been a lot of recent controversy about Christian schools and whether they should be allowed to employ the kind of staff that they want to hire. And so maybe it's better not to have Christian schools at all if there is that kind of discrimination in their employment practices. But you also hear this kind of distinction between the world of faith and the world of education from religious people too. There is a strand of Christians who are characterized by their great distrust in the secular education system. They are very afraid of the values it teaches. One Christian group that I heard of said that sending your child to a secular school was basically letting the devil educate your children. And with sentiment like that, there is no surprise that about two-thirds of all people who are being homeschooled are Christian. And so we hear this idea from both religious people and non-religious people. And so it seems like faith and education are worlds apart, but is there a way to integrate those two? Can we do it without being hypocrites? Well, I want to be able to say that there is. And I want to try and show you today that we can put all the things that we learn in school, put our education under the Bible's heading of wisdom. And so in this talk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain what wisdom is in the Bible. I'm going to explain how it fits with education. And I'm going to try and show that how that changes the way that we see what we learn in school. And so firstly, education is wisdom. This is why we read the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs is the book that best expresses this idea of creation wisdom. And the idea of Proverbs is that there are rules that God has baked into his creation. There are predictable ways that this world goes. And Proverbs expresses those rules in terms of proverbs, in terms of saying. So Proverbs is basically saying stuff like, you know, this is the way that the world works. This is the way that things work. And as you live in sync with God's creation, you are also living in sync with God. And so you've got Proverbs like Proverbs 10, verse 4, where it says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 as well says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. You know, these are rules of God's creation that are generally true. This is how the world works, according to God. And these are truths that come from the Bible. They're from God's word, but they can also be discovered by everyday experience, not just by Christians, but also by non-Christians as well. Now, Proverbs mainly concerns itself with moral rules and social rules, like how people operate, what's good, what's right and wrong, what works out better for people. But we know that there are other creation rules as well. Rules like gravity. We have proverbs for them too. We say things like, what goes up must come down. We say things like, 2 + 2 = 4. We say stuff like, a thing cannot be A and not A at the same time. And so all these little proverbs, all these little facts that we learn about the world through maths and science and literature and music, I want to say that all of that is the gaining of wisdom as well. Right? And so education is wisdom. But I think being a Christian actually helps us to see this wisdom in a greater depth. You know, there's a benefit to actually going through this process of education, going through this process of learning wisdom and having faith in God as well. Because as you have faith, you're not just learning the rules and you're not just discovering rules by yourself, but you also know that there is a person behind the rules. Right? We know that those rules of God's creation are not abstract. They have been put there by God in his love for us. And that's what we see in Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 31. You know, we had that question about who's actually talking in this passage. Well, it is wisdom who is talking in Proverbs 8, wisdom personified. And this is what wisdom is saying. She's saying, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Where there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. You see, this idea, the idea that Prophet Isaiah is trying to get across, is that wisdom was there before God made the world. But also wisdom is this master workman when God makes the world as well. And so when God makes the world, he is kind of baking wisdom into his creation. As we explore God's creation, wisdom is there and we can discover wisdom through our interactions with the world. And so you've got Christians like Johannes Kepler, who was an astronomer. Got to be very careful, astronomer versus astrologer. Pretty sure astronomer. He said, science is the process of thinking God's thoughts after him. You see the idea there? You know, science is not just learning facts. Science is a relational activity. There is someone who cares that we learn the rules. There is someone who cares as well that we learn them correctly. There is someone who rejoices when we learn and follow those rules like he wants us to. And so as we study well, as we learn things that are true, as we learn things that are right and good, God is pleased because he has baked all these things into his creation. Now, of course, that's the ideal. But like everything else in the world, our sin gets in the way. We are God's creation, we are his children, but the problem is that we are rebellious children. We don't like doing things the way that God wants us to. As much as God bakes his wisdom into creation, we are the kind of children of God that like to go against it. And that distorts everything. It distorts what we think is good, it distorts what we enjoy, it distorts what we aim for in life, but it even distorts our education. And there are all sorts of ways that our sin affects our wisdom and affects our knowledge. And so, for example, we can take our sin, and sin can cause us to take our education and use it in service of idols. You know, we can take our knowledge of God's world and we can use it to hurt others or further our own ambitions. How many times have you seen people who know how people operate or know how specific people operate and have used it to their own advantage? People can use their education to get wealthy for themselves, to exploit others, or to dominate or subjugate others, or even just in regular conversation. I'm sure that we've seen people who use their knowledge as a kind of stick to beat people with, right? When you're in conversation with people, they use their education to look superior to others. They delight in telling other people that they are wrong, or they delight in correcting other people. Sin as well can also blind us to our ignorance. Have you ever heard the phrase, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing? You know what you know, but you don't know what you don't know. You can see this in people, for example, who look up medical advice on the internet and then don't think that they need a doctor. There's all this information about a particular disease that's going around in the news and you have a few symptoms and you think that you have it. Right? Or you've got people who injure themselves in DIY incidents as well because the only thing that they looked up on how to do something is on YouTube. Paul spoke about the Jews in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, where he says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." You see, it's saying here, just being enthusiastic, just being passionate is not enough. You know, you will be dangerous if you do not know the truth, if you don't have knowledge and wisdom. And of course, the greatest ignorance that sin blinds us to is our ignorance of God. Our ignorance of what God has done for us and what we owe to God. And not knowing God is the most dangerous ignorance of all. Sin also skews how much value we place on different types of knowledge. We can do this in harmless ways, you know, like trivia nights kind of assess almost like how much useless knowledge people have. There are people who have this encyclopedic knowledge of things like sports statistics or the strategies and tactics of a particular computer game or the ins and outs of a particular celebrity's life. And if you have all that, but you don't have the kind of knowledge that actually helps people, then that can be an effect of our sin. I think even more harmful, though, you've got Jesus talking to the religious leaders in Matthew 23, 24, and he says, "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." Jesus is talking to people here who are all about the ritual rules, all about looking clean and doing the right religious things, but forgetting about stuff like justice and mercy and faithfulness. And so sin can lead to people ignoring or dismissing the knowledge that they need to have to live, and the knowledge of God most of all. And I think finally, and I think that we really need to be aware of this, because I don't think we often know this, but sin often distorts our logic and rationality. It distorts our ability to come to the right conclusions. Romans chapter 1 talks about the effect of our sin against God. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And then later on in verse 28 it says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." This is what people call the noetic effect of sin, from the Greek word nous, which relates to the mind. Sin doesn't just affect our heart. It also affects our brains. It affects our logic. We become illogical because of our sins. And I think we've all experienced this. If you've ever heard someone speaking, maybe they were very kind of educated, a very smart person, and they sounded really convincing in terms of their chain of logic, but then they land somewhere, the conclusion that they draw from all this is just so wrong, you know. You kind of think, well, there's got to be something wrong with it somewhere, but you can't quite figure it out. That is, I think, the noetic effect of sin. But I think closer to home ourselves, you know, have you ever been so sure of something? Have you ever been so convinced that it was true and you reckon you'd be able to back it up? But then later on, you figure out that you were wrong. And you understand that you actually believed this just because you wanted it to be true. Now, I hope that you have felt that, because all of us have done that. You know, no one is as logical or as rational as they think. Sin distorts our knowledge. Sin distorts our education in all sorts of ways. And I think all of us know this and we've experienced this, whether it's yourself or whether it's others. And that kind of raises the question, well, what can you do then? You know, is our takeaway from this that we can't fully trust anything that we know? You know, what kind of certainty is there then? Should we just kind of doubt everyone who just says something to us? Well, I think the answer to that for Christians is that Christians at least have found their answer to this in God. We know that there is a God who has made the universe. God has established its rules. God knows how it works and he loves us. And he wants us to know this truth. God is the foundation of our knowledge. And when we learn about the world from others, whether that is a teacher or a lecturer or a book or a conversation, what we are doing is we're building on that foundation that we have, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And Christians know that this kind of hasn't really led us astray so far through like kind of 2,000 years of church history. Like it actually seems to work in life to kind of build from the foundation of knowing God and his will. Now people might think, look, is this foolish? You know, isn't this just kind of a blind trust in some sort of deity figure then? But you've got to say it for that, you know, everyone does this actually. You know, everyone trusts somebody. All knowledge is relational. You know, whether you're aware of it or not, everything that you know it because someone else, a person, passed it on to you. They thought it was the truth and you trusted them. For all the knowledge that comes into our minds, you know, we don't know kind of what agendas or personal interests or profits even were behind that. But Christians at least know that their knowledge comes from God and that God is trustworthy. That's what it says in Psalm 118, verses 8 to 9. It says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Everyone trusts somebody. Christians are just clear on who they trust. Because we trust God as the greatest educator of us all. And so as far as we're concerned, in our place and in our time, you know, our church in particular, what kind of things I think can we take away from this? Well, a few things that I want to pass on to you. I think, firstly, recognize who is responsible for education. I think this is mainly for the parents in our congregation. Know that the one who is responsible for teaching your child is you. We saw this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It is a great proverb, and I hope that you remember it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And even Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, that says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Now, never in the Bible is there a quote that says something like, you know, hey, remember what you learned in school. Never does it say, remember those skills that you picked up on YouTube. No, parents are the ones who are ultimately responsible. We might delegate that responsibility to others, right? Like schools, like other things, like books. But this is not a palming off for parents. Parents are still responsible. I will say kind of one possibly controversial statement without giving any proof for this. So I say this, not the Lord, and you can discuss it with me after church, whether you agree or disagree. Tell me if you're offended by it. But it's my impression more and more that school teachers are increasingly called upon to be almost surrogate parents for children. That parents call upon teachers to do things for children that really they should be doing. And if that is true, then please, as a Christian parent, don't be like that. Take responsibility for the education of your children. But even if you're not a parent here, I hope that as you grow up, you take more and more responsibility for your own education yourself. You know, you are, as you grow up, become an adult, more and more responsible for what goes into your head and what comes out of it. The more and more that you grow, the less you will be able to blame your parents for how you've turned out. You know, if you've ever thought to yourself something like, you know, I wish my mum had taught me more of this, or I wish my dad kind of taught me more of this. You know, when I kind of think about that, and I've often thought that at times in my life, I also think, look, there are a lot of things in my life that my mum and dad were trying to teach me that I didn't listen to. And that is on me, right? You know, I totally could have done something about that. And the situations that you find yourself in, you probably can do something about that too. And so whether you are a parent or whether you're not, as an adult, recognize who is responsible for the education of your children and your own education. Secondly, plunder the Egyptians for wisdom. When the Israelites left Egypt in the book of Exodus after the 10 plagues, God kind of gave great acts of judgment on the Egyptians. As the Israelites left, they took some of the riches of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians were basically kind of paying the Israelites to see them go. It was not wrong for the Israelites to take of the riches of the Egyptians, even though they came from a non-Christian source. And I think it's the same with education. When we go to secular schools or universities, or when we learn from other people in the world, there is a Christian statement that all truth is God's truth, right? All truth is God's wisdom. If it's true, it came from God. And all of us are in this process of discovery of how God has made and ordered the world, what his wisdom is like that he has baked into his creation. And we can take all that that we learn, and we can put it on our firm foundation that there is a God who has made this world, and he's made it to be a sensible world, an ordered world. And we can live in sync with the way that God has made the world. And so plunder the Egyptians for wisdom. At the same time, though, as you do that, have a healthy suspicion of human knowledge. When Peter and John were questioned about what they did, in Acts chapter 5, they healed a guy and they were told not to do this anymore. They were told not to tell people about Jesus. They said, we must obey God rather than men. It's the same with our knowledge. There are going to be times when human knowledge and the word of God directly oppose each other. And those situations are a test of who we truly trust. We've heard before that sin affects our minds, it affects our logic, it affects our thoughts. It can cause us to be wrong even when we are convinced we are right. Sin can cause us to ignore the flaws in our own logic or to suppress the truth due to our emotions or our agendas or peer pressure, and we may not even know that we are doing it. But God is never wrong. We can always trust God. And that's where we put our final trust in. So have a healthy suspicion of human knowledge. And then finally, fill the gaps. If you're a parent, you might be aware of the debate between things like Christian schooling versus non-Christian schooling, versus homeschooling versus no schooling as well. I hear that there's a movement called no schooling. This movement can get really ugly. So the debates about this can get really ugly and judgy. I know one minister who used to preach very, very strongly that it has to be a Christian school. You know, Christian school is strictly the better way to go, until his kids got into a selective school. And then they were straight into that. You know, and so I'm not sure that kind of any answer to this debate is really correct for everyone. But I think what I can say about kind of this debate is, wherever you go as a parent, fill in the gaps in your children's education. Now, if you send your kids to a secular school, for example, and you know that they're not going to provide your children with enough Bible, you know, they're not going to give them that Christian worldview, that Christian perspective on the world to unify and synthesize everything together. They're not going to get that foundation of God who made this world good and made it understandable and put his wisdom into it. Well, if you're a parent, you provide that. You teach that. On the other hand, if you know that a Christian school is not going to provide your children with maybe enough opposition to test and strengthen their faith, or maybe not provide them with enough of a mission field for your children to tell people about Jesus and to grow God's kingdom, well, you as a parent can provide that. You can teach that. The Bible addresses parents as people who are competent, people who are wise, people who are able to train their kids. The Bible addresses Christians as able to love and work around the weaknesses of others. It doesn't address parents, and it doesn't address adults as people who are victims of the world and helpless in the face of the world. And from what I know of the parents of this church as well, you know, all of you totally are competent. You totally are able. You know, you can do this. And so learn the gaps, know the gaps, and fill the gaps. If you're not a parent, then what I said still applies. It applies 100% the same to you, but it applies for your own knowledge. You are an adult. You can learn things. You can train yourself in things. So use that ability that God has given you. And it kind of goes without saying that the biggest thing that the world will never teach you is how to trust and obey and worship God. You can only get that from God and his church. You will not get that foundation from anywhere else. And that is one of the reasons why it's important to keep on reading your Bible, keep on praying to God, keep on coming to church to be with and learn from and serve God's people. And so as you do that now, this is what you are doing too. You are filling in the gaps of the world's education too. And so faith and education, like faith and play, like faith and music, like faith and finance, like faith and family, they go hand in hand. But I think you can also say that the hand of faith is like a bigger hand holding a smaller one. Education is wisdom. Education is exploring this world and discovering the order that God has built into it. It's living in sync with how God has made the world. And we can take all that and we can build on our foundation of knowing that God is the center, creator, and sustainer of the universe. There are limits to our education, like all things, but God and his word and his people has given us the strength and the opportunities to work around them. And so we can do that. Let me pray that we will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful and glorious world that you have made around us. We thank you that even though our sin has affected ourselves and the world, that your creation is still good, that you still say that your world is good. And Lord, we pray that as we learn more about the world, that we may see this as learning wisdom, that we are learning how to relate better to you because you have baked your wisdom into this world. And we are living the way that you want us to live, to live in sync with this creation. Lord, let us remember, let us know that you are delighted when we learn wisdom, when we learn what is true and right and good. Please help us to dedicate ourselves to learning those things. But also help us to recognize the limits of what we learn from the world as well. Please help us to remember that only you and your word and your people will teach us about your character, will teach us about what you've done for us in Jesus, and will teach us how we can live to serve you. And all of those are super important for living in good relationship with you. Please help us to maintain that bigger hand holding that smaller one. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.